in the Ozarks, back on the farm.
Come on in and set a spell, won't you, neighbors? Here's that lovable First Lady of the Ozarks, May Kennedy McCord, ready to chat with you about this, that, and the other in Ozark folklore and traditions. Generally speaking, just to help brighten up your day. And maybe help you work a crossword puzzle, too. Good morning, May.
Good morning. What'd you say, Fred, about I can't work a crossword puzzle. Mrs. Freeman, brought me one of those, a page from one of these crossword puzzles that you buy, books. And that published, I don't know, New York or somewhere, and on that page, it said folk singers. And by cracky, there was my name. They were all working a crossword puzzle with my name in it. Don't know how they ever got hold of my name, poor little me. Anyway, thank you, Fred Lynn, and good morning, friends. And how are all of you this fine morning? Cold I was this morning. How are all the spinners in the sun, the lovers and the losers, the laughers and the weepers, the men and the women and the children, the mothers and the grandmothers and fathers and the grandfathers? Oh, we have them all this morning. A lot of them listening in, and so many of them tucked away in our great big America in their separate places. By the way, I read about the men. It said the average man, now Fred, you won't listen to this, the average man is 40 around the chest, 42 around the waist, and a nuisance around the house. So that does the men up. That's all you need to know. Little girl wrote an essay about elephants, and just three or four words the teacher had on me. She says, that's all I want to know about elephants. And then I read this one, which wasn't very charitable to us women. It said, how often a narrow mind and a wide mouth and a woman go together. A narrow mind and a wide mouth. Oh, well, we get the worst of it on all sides, we women, don't we? Well, this morning I'm going to read a bit of poetry. I used to give a full poetry program about every 3 months, and people love poetry more than you ever believe or ever dream. Some people say, oh, I don't like poetry. Yes, you do, too. Everyone loves beautiful words, words which adorn and go floating into time to stay there eternally. Beautiful poetry, it said, has done more for this old world than all the history that a human being could read or study in a lifetime. And cheering poetry, humorous poetry, great orations, masterful language, the beauty of the Bible. It is all refining to the life, and no one can read too much of it. For example, who could ever tire of the beauty of the letter to Mrs. Bixby, that famous letter written by Abraham Lincoln of just a few words, to the woman who lost 5 sons in the Civil War? This Lincoln letter, you know, Abraham Lincoln wrote to her, think of it, a man who had only 1 year's poor schooling in his whole life, who had no books to read when he was young, but who lived to adorn the English language as few people have ever adorned it in the history of the centuries. That beautiful letter, you ought to get it and read it, ending with this lovely passage. I pray that our Heavenly Father may assuage the anguish of your bereavement and leave you only the cherished memory of your loved and lost, and the solemn pride that must be yours to have laid so costly a sacrifice upon the altar of freedom. Immortal words. And then the simpler poems, the little poems that you run across and out of the way publications and little books every day. They say something too. They sometimes look you in the face. They often comfort you and they help you to live. They make you laugh. Maybe they make you cry and they soften your heart. And then the poems flavored with old lore and old, old traditions. I remember a poem by Dennis Murphy, a real Missouri poet up north of Springfield, somewhere up in the northern Missouri country. I forget where Dennis came from. But I met him. He spoke here at a Writers Guild dinner one time. And I have his 2 books, and I've never forgotten Dennis. I think he's in Oklahoma now. One time he was a guest at a meeting here, and he recited during his talk a little poem he wrote. Do you remember the old superstition that it's lucky to be born with two crowns in your head? That is, crowns in the back part of your hair. He wrote this, the little poem about this, and it fascinated me. And he said it was a true incident. Eight tall sons my mother bore, eight tall sons and fair, and only I, the seventh son, had two crowns in my hair. Seven grown sons she laid away in sleep beside her tomb. Then softly she too went one day when plums burst white with bloom. What can death mean if certain fate set two crowns on my head? And what can life mean to one of eight with seven brothers dead? So it worked out in his family. And now here's a good one from a little magazine. The wife has her say. I cooked his breakfast, made the bed, got the baby dressed and fed. I washed the clothes and hung them out. All morning long I ran about. I took time out to mend his socks and stooped to pick up baby's blocks. The doorbell rang and then the phone, not a minute to call my own. I baked a pie and cookies too. A woman's work is never through. I rushed down to the corner store, back home again to work some more. I'm like a racehorse on the track. Oh, golly, my poor aching back. And then tonight when he came in, he said, my dear, it is a sin the way I slave the whole day through while you're at home with nothing to do. I bet that didn't sound like poetry to her. But it's poetry, is it poetry? Anyway, here's a lovely truth in poetry. If you can coax a bird to sing within your garden fair, a rose to bloom, a tree to spread its leafy branches there, if in the twilight dusk for you there shines one lovely star, you'll have a bit of heaven no matter where you are. Some little time ago, someone sent Fred Lynn a poem and asked him to give it to me to read on the air, if I wanted to. The letter was just signed, a Lamar listener. So here's the poem Fred handed to me. It's about a subject I agree with absolutely. This moon-chasing business that the whole world has gone so nutty about. I think I aired myself about that not long ago. Every once in a while I air myself pretty positively. Going to the moon. Well, anyway, here's the poem. It's cute. I'm sure you've heard or read about the satellites in space, how Russia and the United States are in a rocket race. To hear the talk, it won't be long, for space they'll conquer soon. And what next will man attempt if he should reach the moon? If man should ever reach the moon, there's one thing that is clear. He'll ruin everything up there just as he has down here. With sin and crime and lust and greed, he's got enough to do to clear the mess he's made on Earth. And you know that that's true. The sickness and the want and fear, the broken hearts and shame, and hungry millions cry each day. And man is all to blame. I think we'd better set our sights above the moon and space, and let's explore eternity while there is time and grace. It's not the moon we need to reach, it's the God who put it there, the one who went to Calvary, a rugged cross to bear. For sins of men with wicked hearts he died one afternoon. With faith in him, you'll have no fear if men should reach the moon. Thank you, my friend, for me and Fred both. That's a good poem. Well, friends, sometimes it's a good thing for a woman to talk and open her big mouth like I sometimes do and did last Saturday when I was telling how I like okra. Mrs. Robert Harvey of this city brought me a great, big, lovely bag full of okra that they had raised. She said they raised plenty of it this year. And believe me, I've been feasting on it. And I met in her a lovely friend, too, as well. I love to meet people. Also her sister from Corpus Christi, Texas. Then Mr. Olus McCurdy, he'd heard me, too, and he brought me a mess of the climbing okra, like the one that Mr. Brazil, my dear old friend, sent me. Only these were the little ones. And he said if one ever ate the climbing vine okra, that one would prefer it ever afterward to the straight okra. And indeed, I believe he's right. I fried it, as he said, slice it up, then sprinkle generously with meal and fry it. He fries his in oil. Or you can fry it whatever you want to, but oil is splendid, of course. It was delicious, that I fried. Sort of crispy and of a much tenderer consistency than even the regular plain okra, the garden okra that isn't climbing. And you know that the great Mayo Brothers Clinic says that okra is the most magical vegetable in all the vegetable eating for the human system. It will almost cure what ails you. Next summer, I'm going to get my big back lot cleaned all out and plowed and I think planted entirely in okra. Thanks to these two responsive friends. Do you know, someday I believe I'm going to ask over there for a pink Cadillac. I believe to my soul that I'll get it. If I do well, we'll all go riding. Thanks to friends again this week who sent the trading stamps, there's several here this morning, and I'll drop you a card. The stamp for the bus for the retarded and the epileptic children at the home at Marshall. Mrs. Wyman brought me some Kodak pictures she took this last week while up at Marshall. I wish you could see them, how devoted, even under such circumstances, the patients are up there. A man who carries a little boy who's so hopelessly crippled and twisted out of all shape. He carries this little boy about almost constantly and brings a little love into his life. And the little boy looks up at him like he worshipped him. Nobody to carry him but this man. And there's a woman there carrying a little colored girl, twisted also like a piece of wrecked iron or something. Just think of these older patients loving and tenderly helping these children, putting something into their own lives and something into the children's lives. I tell you, we scarcely know how to be thankful for our condition, even though it's not just what we'd like it to be. I want to say this. A woman and her mother sent me $2, one for the children's bus up at Marshall and one for Viola Wooten's late book of poetry. I gave the bus dollar at once over to Ms. Wyman for the fund. It's all right, but it seems I've lost track somewhere of the letter and the dollar for the book and thereby lost the town where they lived and their names. But I'll find it, but not, I don't know when. Oh, I have such an endlessly big task. I often wonder myself how I ever halfway keep up with it. But will the woman and her mother, I think they'll know who it is, they liked her book so well and spoke about they'd like to have the three editions. Will they please, if they're listening in, drop me a card with their name and address. The book is waiting and will be sent at once. And any of the rest of you who want one, Viola would love to send it to you for just what the printing cost her, $1. And my love and greetings to the Berry Tour people and on their way back home in their lovely big bus after the Ozark trip, and do come back and live with us. I'll see you all again someday. We never know, do we? Maybe we will. And now before I close, I wonder if I have time to read a little poem that wonderful man and poet and writer, editor Charles Iden at West Plains sent me on my birthday. No, I haven't got time. And he died in the hospital up here just a few days after he sent me this. What a friend he was to me for many years. He said, "May I hear you have a birthday and hope you shed no tear, for birthdays are quite common. Folks have them every year. While one keeps on at living, we like to live, you know. One's intellect and reason just seems to grow and grow, like jimson weeds and rabbits and other foolish things, vicissitudes and tantrums and bills the postman brings. And yet there's joy in living here in the hills of home, where folks can find contentment and lose the urge to roam. Just settle down in quiet, May, when twilight ends the day, and dream about the blessings you've had along the way. Your folks have loved your chatter through years that now are gone. We like your kind of preaching, so keep on keeping on." Thanks, Charles Iden. Peace be to your memory. And I'll be seeing you all next Saturday, the Lord willing, and the creek don't rise.